Our scripture text this morning comes from Exodus 15 and two different psalms, but we are going to weave those together as we go through the message this morning. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for your word, and thank you for music. I pray that you would open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds to the message you have for us today. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Many have said music can be like a time machine, just instantly taking us back to certain events, certain decades, certain moments in our lives. And we all know that feeling of hearing something come on the radio or maybe in a grocery store out of the blue, hearing a song that we hadn't heard for a long time, and then whoosh, just instantly being transported back to a certain time. Does anyone know that feeling of being transported through music? There's a few that came to my mind this week. The Indigo Girls song, Hammer and a Nail, instantly takes me back to my childhood home, to Saturday morning with my mom vacuuming and my brother and I sitting in the living room reading or playing video games, the feeling of a lazy Saturday and joy. There's a John Coltrane song called Naima, the inspiration for our daughter's name. And when I was in labor with her, we played that song on repeat, trying to encourage her to come a little bit faster. It still took a good 72 hours, but that song now instantly takes me back to that experience, to watching the night turn into the day and to breathing through contractions and to getting ready to welcome this girl into our lives. There's a worship song called Open the Eyes of My Heart, and that instantly takes me back to Camp Baraka, where I was at a young adult retreat in my early 20s, and I was standing in a circle with my peers, and we were worshiping together, and someone was playing guitar, and I remember I was wearing a gray sweatshirt and jeans, and I remember my friend Amy was standing with her arms open and her eyes closed, and I looked around the circle, and I felt so connected to God and to those people. And then I remember the hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, Here I Am, Lord. That song, as many times as I have sung it in my life, instantly takes me back to the balcony of St. Andrew United Methodist Church when I was a high school student, and I heard these words for the first time, and I felt some kind of call to ministry. Songs are magical. They connect us with the divine. They take us to places that are memories or maybe even places that we can't describe. And when we participate in music, when we sing along with it, not just listen to it, when we learn it, when we play it, when we experience it on the performative side, it can be even more magical. Scientists show how many different parts of the brain light up when we listen to music, and when we participate in creating it, even more light up. Music does things to our brain that normal conversations don't do, that books don't do, that movies don't do. Music connects in a profound way. It prompts the secretion of neurotransmitters and reduces stress hormones. And when we participate with it, it involves a part of our implicit memory that makes things stick. Like riding a bike or brushing your teeth, music becomes so embedded that we no longer have to think about what we're doing. Our brains just know how to do it. This is why folks who suffer with Alzheimer's disease can have a hard time telling you the names of their children, but can sing every single word to an old hymn that is so embedded in their soul. Listening to music is incredibly powerful, and participating in it even more so. You know, unless you're part of some organized choir, church is one of the only places that remains in our world where we regularly come together and sing. It's a gift that I think we take for granted a lot of the time, and we ignore the possibility and the potential and the amazing opportunities that come as a result of that. So this spring and this Easter season, we're going to take some time to slow down and think about the music that we participate in here at church, to learn a little bit about some of the hymns that we sing, to consider if and how music draws us closer into relationship with God and one another. And so for the next 4 weeks, we will have one hymn every Sunday that we really dive into and study and connect with Scripture and learn about. And then at the end of the series on May 12th, we will celebrate with a congregational hymn sing service. Some of you have already shared with us your favorite hymns or stories of those spiritual songs that connect with you deeply, and I encourage you to keep thinking about that and to reach out and to let me know if there's a hymn that is a favorite of yours that you want to be sure is included. We would love to do that. Music, as we talked about with our instruments and with the children, is all over Scripture. But the church has had an interesting and sometimes complicated relationship with music over the years. In fact, one of the most early documented controversies of the church had to do with introducing instruments into expressions of worship in the Christian church. And some said, you know, it's a little too close to the Greco-Roman culture of instruments being used for some kind of scandalous things, and so we would rather just stay away. Maybe we could use voices alone, but no instruments. They are far too scandalous. And as the years went on, there were different expressions in different practices of the church, but more often than not, in those early years and decades and centuries, it was people using just their voices to sing the Psalms or other quoted pieces of Scripture. Hymns didn't really come into the picture until the 1700s. And Isaac Watts, one of the most prolific hymn writers, wrote a hymn book in the 1700s with such classics as Joy to the World and When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And at first, they were very controversial, just like in some circles, contemporary Christian music is controversial today. Because his words were not directly quoted from Scripture all the way, every single word, people thought, ooh, I don't know, this is a little fancy. This might not really fit in worship. So churches debated long and hard, and within the Presbyterian Church, within our denomination, it wasn't until the General Assembly of 1802 that they deemed hymns as acceptable for public worship. And even then, it took the Presbyterians a while longer to get organized. I'm sure there were 47 committees between 1802 and the publishing of the first Presbyterian hymnal, which was in 1830. But hymns were not super common in those days. And now today, here we are in 2024, incorporating hymns and other genres and other types of spiritual songs and even gasp jazz musicians every once in a while. And we recognize all of these ways and songs and styles can actually draw us closer to God. This morning, I want us to sit with three of my favorite pieces of Scripture that revolve around song. And as I read them, I invite you into a space of holy play with these texts. As I read each scripture, I want you to imagine what might the song have sounded like. I won't make you play it on your instruments, but I want you to imagine what might this sound like, acted out, performed. Songs and music enhance our curiosity about God and draw us into relationship with one another. Hear these words from Exodus 15. After crossing the Red Sea, Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord for an overflowing victory. Horse and rider God threw into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my power. God has become my salvation. This is my God whom I will praise, the God of my ancestors whom I will acclaim. The enemy said, I'll pursue, I'll overtake, I'll divide the spoils of war, I'll be overfilled with them, I'll draw my sword, my hand will destroy them. But God blew with your wind. The sea covered over them. They sank like lead in the towering waters. Who is like you among the gods, Lord? Who is like you, foremost in holiness, worthy of highest praise, doing awesome deeds? You raised your strong hand, earth swallowed them up. With your great loyalty, you led the people you rescued. With your power, you guided them to your sanctuary. You brought them in and planted them on your own mountain, the place, Lord, that you made your home, the sanctuary, Lord, that your hand created. The Lord will rule forever and always. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand. All the women followed her, playing tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang the refrain back to them. Sing to the Lord for an overflowing victory. Horse and rider God threw into the sea. Amen. Sometimes music helps us to celebrate. Sometimes songs help us to tell a story about what God has done in our lives. As we teach those songs to the next generation, songs become a way that we teach about our history with each other and with God. Songs are a way of connecting with people who have been through a similar experience as we express ourselves. Music is so tied to our emotional, true selves, and it can be used in joy, and sometimes it can be used to torment. Hear these words from Psalm 137 and consider what might this silence have felt like. Alongside Babylon's streams, there we sat down, crying because we remembered Zion. We hung our lyres up in the trees there because that's where our captors asked us to sing. Our tormentors requested songs of joy. Sing us a song about Zion, they said. But how could we possibly sing the Lord's song on foreign soil? Amen. You can't force a song out of someone. You might force them to sing, but you can't force a song out of them. This psalm captures the moment and the memory of the people of God being sent into exile in Babylon and being forced to work as slaves and being forced to sing for their captors. We've heard stories within our own country about songs and the power of music within the horror of slavery, about how sometimes songs were a means of salvation, of communication, of passing along the faith and hope that there might be a better tomorrow. Songs can be a form of resistance, and songs can express the deepest feelings within us. Music is able to handle the entire spectrum of human experience and emotion. Sometimes it means we're stifled. But sometimes it means that we have a vehicle to express the things that our words cannot. Hear these words from Psalm 22 and imagine what this might have sounded like. For the music leader, according to Doe of Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, my God, why have you left me all alone? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my anguished groans? My God, I cry out during the day, but you don't answer. Even at nighttime, I don't stop. You are the Holy One enthroned. You are Israel's praise. Our ancestors trusted you. They trusted you and you rescued them. They cried out and they were saved. They trusted and they weren't ashamed. But I am just a worm, less than human, insulted by one person, despised by another. All who see me make fun of me. They gape, shaking their heads. He committed himself to the Lord, so let God rescue him. Let God deliver him, because God likes him so much. But God, you are the one who pulled me from the womb, placing me safely at my mother's breasts. I was thrown on you from birth. You've been my God since I was in my mother's womb. Please, don't be far from me, because trouble is near and there's no one to help. Amen. This psalm is a song of lament. The heading of the psalm speaks of it as a song. It's addressed to a conductor and given a tune for this music in the line in the word of David. And it's a song that we imagine was used in worship, used enough that Jesus knew it, and it was so ingrained in Jesus that Jesus used these words to cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes when our own minds don't have the words, songs that we know bubble up, and God meets us in them. Music connects us with the divine. Each Sunday, we select music that helps us draw a little bit closer to the message, to the idea, to one another, and to God. And within our own Presbyterian Book of Order, there are only a couple of must-haves, but they have some pretty strict rules about what music should and should not do in the Presbyterian Church. Our Book of Order says, music should awaken us to God's presence. It should evoke, edify, enhance, and expand worshipers' consciousness of the reality and grace of God. If music exists, our Book of Order says, just for music's sake, then it is idolatry. But if it is something that makes us more curious about God and God's word, then it is true worship. I have a very controversial musical opinion, and that is this. There is no such thing as secular music. I would love to debate this if any of you would like to after hours. But many people categorize the Christian music and the secular music. And there are certain radio stations that fall into each category and certain types and certain concerts. But I truly believe that music taps us into something that is divine. That doesn't mean that every lyric is helpful. It doesn't mean that every song topic is holy, but I truly believe that all music is divine. That God does something with music and lighting up our brains that connects us to one another and to a spirit that is bigger than ourselves, and that we might find a presence that is helpful in that. So my homework for you this week is to immerse yourself in music. Find a sacred time, allow it to be a spiritual practice. Maybe it's just turning the volume up on a favorite song in your car and sitting in a driveway and just listening at full blast. Maybe it is going through a hymnal and looking at the words and reminiscing about the memories that come back. But find a way to meet with God through music this week. And I invite you to join us in this series as we explore those places and those hymns where we feel most connected to the divine. Know that God is with us in all types of music, and allow yourselves to be moved by it. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the gift that music is in all its forms. Lord, allow us to dwell within it and to feel your spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.